Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know what we haven't talked about in a while? Masks. Isn't that funny? We haven't talked about masks. Like, I feel like every day for a long time, we were like, ugh. Should we wear masks? Should we not wear masks? Who's wearing masks? Who's mask shaming? What kind of mask? Does it do any good? La, 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 la. Now, of course, we have a statewide mask mandate. And you should all be wearing masks. I mean, that's kind of settled. We have to be at restaurants and when we're out in public spaces that are enclosed. You don't have to wear them when you walk around the lake. But, you know, you have to wear them. So it's kind of settled that you have to wear masks. I mean, that's just sort of like the end of it. You have to wear them. But David had an interesting experience the other day that we were talking about off air that I wanted to share with you guys on the air. Because at public spaces, and in fact, I went to a my son's baseball game last night. And I sat in the bleachers, and some people wore masks and some didn't. And that's great, no matter what. I sat sort of like in the middle by myself, took off my mask because I just was out at a baseball game and nobody was near me. I wasn't infecting anybody. They weren't infecting me. But many people who were sort of clustered together who wanted to chat were wearing masks, and that was great too. But David, you had a different experience at your softball game. So share what happened.
Well, yeah, I'm an avid softball player. Play every summer with a group of friends in various different leagues. And this summer I'm playing in a league in St. Louis Park, just not too far from where you are right now, Jordana.
There you go.
And
come kill the Wasps.
Yeah, okay, next Monday I'll stop over beforehand. And here's the deal. They had to delay the season, obviously, because of COVID. And then, you know, about a month ago they said, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to start the season, but here's the deal. Like, fans have certain restrictions. Players have certain restrictions.
Sure.
Like, normally the catcher and the batter and the umpire are all standing really close to each other. So we're going to change that so the catcher and umpire are standing apart. And there's this whole laundry list of, when to wear masks and all these other things that, okay, if we're going to do softball, here's how we're going to do it. And, you know, a few people opted out because of, you know, their own personal concerns. But I said, hey, look, this is a low-risk thing that is good for me both physically and mentally. I'm all in. So I'm out there playing, and I'm doing my part to be safe and to follow the rules. And they're posted on the back of the dugout. Like, you can't miss all these rules. One of those rules, which seems pretty common sense and is also the case in Major League Baseball, is that you can't spit on the field. And the reason that's a rule, Jordana, is it's not just
obvious
about spitting, right? But it's about, you know, people are usually spitting sunflower seeds. It's part of the tradition of baseball and softball. And look, I love that. I love spitting sunflower seeds at a softball game in the summer. But it's COVID. Like, we're not doing that. It's just fine. I can spit sunflower seeds in my own backyard if I really want to. But on Monday night, we played a team. The team we were facing, about half of their players were spitting sunflower seeds for the entire game. And not just in their own dugout. Like, the first baseman, the third baseman. I mean, there's piles of sunflower seeds on the field. The catcher, who's standing 10 feet away from a batter and the umpire, is spitting sunflower seeds on the field. And it got pretty heated because our manager asked the umpire, said, you need to tell him to stop. And he said something to their team, but whatever he said didn't stop them. And they were sort of mocking us for, like, caring so much. They said, it's softball. This is just what we do. We drink beer and we spit.
Really?
Yeah. And it got, and I was playing second base, and some of the base runners were spitting seeds. And I was like playing through this thing in my head. And if somebody got close to me and spit a seed, I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to grab my manager. I'm going to walk up to the umpire. I'm going to say, this is what happened. I'm not okay with this. This whole thing is real. I'm leaving now, and I will be calling the league manager in the morning. I almost did that, but, you know, the game ended, and we walked away, and our manager then the next morning sent an email to the league office, and that's kind of where the story is right now. But it makes me so mad because, like, this is something we can do. If we follow the rules, like, guys out playing softball in St. Louis Park, like, that's a piece of normal that we can have in this COVID time if you don't mess it up for all of us by being a jerk.
I couldn't agree with you more, David. I'm sorry that you had to experience that because we're all craving what we love. Mm-hmm. You love softball. You want to enjoy it. You don't want to have to – when you're playing softball, you can escape a little bit from the crazy world that we're living in. And now you have to – be dodging seeds because, well, A, it's gross if they spit them on you anyway. And B, COVID, hello, friends, COVID. I'm sorry that that happened to you. How hard is it to follow the rules? Yeah. How hard is that? We got an email early in my son's baseball season. You know, they have to be able to play, you have to follow rules. Mm-hmm. And they said, absolutely no seeds. Don't send them with the kids. Don't buy them. Yeah. No seeds, nothing. You can't have anything in the dugout. And we get it. We totally get it, and we're glad for that rule.
And it's a small sacrifice to take this one little tradition out of the sport so that we can move on and actually play this thing that, you know, builds community and is good for us.
I'm sorry that that happened. And you know what, guys? Just be kind to each other. You all want to play, right? You're all after the same goal, a fun softball game. Yes. Again, don't vandalize Black Lives Matter signs. Don't spit seeds at each other when it clearly states that this season you can't have seeds. Yeah. Have seeds afterward. Spit them in your backyard, not at another player who wants nothing to do with getting COVID. Well, David, thank you for sharing.
Yeah, and I unfortunately think instances like this are going to come up in all of our lives increasingly as, mm-hmm. you know, some people don't want to play by the rules that we're trying to play within, and they think it's a joke to you know, be reckless, and it's just not. It's not a joke.
But and we also don't want to have that fight. Like, why do you have to feel anxious at your softball game? Yeah. Why can't you just chill and play second base?
And if their team wants to go, you know, sit in the grass afterwards with just the eight of them or the 10 of them and spit seeds on each other, look, go ahead and do that. I don't care. But
go nuts.
When we're here, follow the rules.
I'm with you, buddy. I'm going to send you in a full hazmat suit next time to play.
Okay, sounds good.
Your cleats and a hazmat suit, and then you're going to come kill the wasps. So where in the world is Todd Walker? Oh, you guys, he's in an RV with a friend of his and the friend's kids. And I haven't got the call to bail him out anywhere. So we're going to find out where he is next. This is the perfect lead-in for Todd Walker. Because even when he is not rambling around the country or the world, he's rambling around St. Paul. He's always exploring something. And I absolutely love that. So if you check out my Twitter at JordanaWCCO, you will see a picture of Todd with a friend of his drinking beers. And I'm pretty sure they're not in our state. Todd Walker is joining us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Where are you, my friend?
Hey, yes, I am on the road in an RV, traveling across the country. I sent you guys a picture to see if you have an idea where I am at. I'm in the Colorado area. Actually, David guessed it exactly, western Colorado. I just crossed over the border into New Mexico on my way to Albuquerque. There's six of us in this RV, you guys, and, you know, you have teenagers in here. All of a sudden, Billy...
We're losing you, Todd.
You're losing me?
Yeah. Oh, no. Do you think we lost him?
Yes. And staying at... Jordana, did you stay at KOAs when you were on your trip?
You know, we did. Is this your first experience with KOAs?
I've never done KOAs, and I'm doing the KOAs. And it's a whole different lifestyle, I got to tell you. It's a little bit different. And traveling through Nebraska... I mean, it's the flattest place I've ever seen in the world. Do you agree?
I haven't been to Nebraska, but wait a minute. Have you done the black water and the gray water? And are you cooking your own meals over an open fire, like the whole shebang?
We're doing the open fire, cooking the meals, doing that whole deal. And now when we're going to Albuquerque, we're hitting a KOA. We just left one in the Colorado mountainous area, and it was beautiful by... Culver City, I think it was, or something. It was beautiful. And Central City, I'm sorry, when that was beautiful. So doing the whole deal. And now we're going to be heading after Albuquerque. We're going to do Devil's Tower, the Sand Dunes, Custard Last Stand, and the Badlands, Mount Rushmore, the whole bit. But I got to tell you, it's different traveling with six people in an RV. One of my best friends, Andy Blessing, and his four kids, and we're taking on the Great American Road Trip. But it's a different way to travel, and I think you'd agree with me. Would you not, Jordana?
Yeah, but when you say different, I know you well enough, Todd, to know that you'd probably rather be in the Ritz.
Heck yes! Are you kidding me? Yeah, I mean, just the whole just being out there at the KOA camp and putting together a fire and pulling into your little spots and the big pools that everybody's jumping into outside. I don't know. It's an interesting experience, but it's been fun. I'm looking forward to continuing on the trip and driving through New Mexico right now. But there are things going on around the Twin Cities, and I'm not sure if you list. Yes, and I can run through some of the things that are going on unless you have my list there and you want to chat about a couple of them.
Well, that's the thing. I don't have your list. I think Wherever you are in Colorado, your Wi-Fi service is not good enough, so I did not get your list. But just give me briefly a rundown of what's happening here.
Okay, well, the Luxury Home Tour, this is something that you can still attend, and you can get on the Luxury Home Tour, and they have 15 homes across the Twin Cities and western Wisconsin. Started last weekend. It runs through the 14th of August, $25 tickets at the door. And this is kind of fun because, you know, it's actually an activity that you can still do because they're limiting the number of people. You go in the house, it's a self-guided tour, and you set up, you make an appointment, and you look at some of these great houses. And I know you're familiar with the tour. And so
I am, yes.
Yeah, so I think it's great that they're continuing to do this. So it's a fun activity. As I said, it runs through next weekend as well. Now, we talked a little bit about museums that have reopened. The Minnesota Children's Museum has reopened. Tickets are $14.95, and it just opened last weekend. And I got to tell you, we need to support the Children's Museum. If you go online and you look at the message, you look at the message from the president of the museum, it's basically, this is a museum that is in dire financial straits. She says right on the opening page that they're a nonprofit organization that relies on ticket sales. So get over there and support that great treasure that we have right downtown St. Paul, the Minnesota Children's Museum. So that's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
Now, the next one I was really excited to share with you guys because this sounds to me, knowing that I'm out on the road doing the RV life, there's a company in the Twin Cities that just opened this spring, and it is called Pitch Minneapolis. And I will resend my notes to you guys, and I want you to take a look at it. And this husband and wife team come out to your house and your backyard, your cabin or whatever, and they pitch a tent. And the tent includes you can do a movie theater inside the tent, and it's total glamping in your backyard. So they do special parties. And, you know, they opened this company not realizing what COVID was going to do to them. The result is it's been fantastic because when people are not taking vacations and canceled due to COVID, they're having all these people that are ordering their services. So you can do, like I said, the movie theater. They bring a picnic table. They bring a fire pit. And they set up the entire space for you. Right in your yard or whatever, wherever you want them to do it. So I'll resend you their website because it's absolutely beautiful what they're doing. So that to me would be something fun for people to do as well. Do we have time to slide in one more activity people can do this weekend?
Yeah, but wait, just go back for a minute. Sure. Let me ask a question.
Yeah.
This is like glamping, but you don't have to do any of the work. They kind of set you up with a fun campsite in your own backyard and let you have at it.
Yeah, Jordana, this is to me like totally perfect. It's perfect for me.
So
it's perfect
fun.
For you. When you think about it, yeah, because you hire them, and it's, you know, it's not that expensive. Like I said, Monday through Thursday, it's $200 a night. Friday through Sunday, it's $250 a night. But, you know, you know, it sleeps more than one person. So you share it with some different people, and you have this great experience. And the pictures online are beautiful. And, you know, the movie theater, you know, and they bring the movies. They even bring the popcorn. They'll do the whole bit, and you can set it up. Now, I just think it sounds like a really fun way to change maybe some of the things we're used to doing due to COVID and set up some new traditions and, you know, do glamping.
I love that. No, it's a great business model. I think that it's perfect of the moment. They really found a nice niche for it. And, yes, we do have time for one more, my friend.
Okay, all right. The Franconia Sculpture Park. Now, this is, I wanted to pull this out because, once again, it's like, what are some activities people can still do? And it's outside, not just virtual activities. And this is down on the St. Croix Trail, down by Stillwater. It's been going on for years. It's totally free, and it's an amazing sculpture park. And you walk around, and they're practicing all the right social distancing. It's 43 acres of mowed yards and gravel pits. They have over 120 different sculptures and just activities for the kids. And I think it's a beautiful place and a beautiful drive. And last but not least, the St. Paul Saints are on, and they are playing the Sioux Falls Canaries, and it's tonight, Saturday night, and Sunday night. Tickets start at $15. So, see, there's still activities to be done, and you know, taking a ball game.
Lots to be done. How long are you out there? How long is this trip for you?
Well, I'm going to be with you guys next week, but I'm coming back actually Thursday morning. I will be back. So yeah, you know, New Mexico. And I mean, any tips for me? I mean, here and now,
did we lose him? He asked for any tips, and then he cuts out. He doesn't want my tips.
That's the perfect way to end that segment.
I know,
with
right?
Todd.
Right? He's RVing it across the country. You know, he's kind of a prima donna, and he knows I would say that about him on the radio. But he's having the experience that so many of us wanted to have this summer, which is a great experience. It was a great experience for me too. It was a lot of work, but it's really fun.
Yeah, my advice for Todd, and I was out in the same area he is just less than a year ago. My advice is be prepared, because there's some roads you drive down where you go, man, like if I started walking in that direction and didn't know where I was going, it would be 3 months before I walked across another road. I mean, it is wide open spaces with nothing out there, and you got to make sure to have gas and a map and GPS and know where you're going.
Well, hopefully his friend is more equipped to be in the wild.
You don't have a lot of faith that Todd will make it through.
Than our pretty face, Todd Walker. He's very pretty. That's his moneymaker right there. He's very pretty. I love him. He'll be fine. He's a grown-up. He will be fine. When we come back, one of my favorite segments of the week, Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. Emmanuel Acco has another installment of What It's Like to Be Black in America. This one is about raising mixed-race children. Hear that segment next. It's 4:34. I'm Jordana Green. Paul is doing a Sunday show, and David is at the helm. And thank you for spending some time with me on a lovely Friday afternoon. We are trying to continue the legacy of George Floyd with being uncomfortable with learning things about ourselves. Someone who helps us with that is Emmanuel Acco. Emmanuel is a former NFLer, ESPN analyst, and just all-around great guy who has started a YouTube channel called Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. We have covered white allergies. We have covered how to talk to your kids. We have covered questions, emails that he takes here on this show that are aired on his YouTube channel. And today he covers what it is like to raise multiracial children. Here now is another Uncomfortable Conversation with Emmanuel Acco.
Lovely to have y'all both, Jamie and Aaron from Austin, Texas. Jamie, can you introduce us to your family?
Yeah, so we've been married 19 years. This is our oldest on the end, Caden. He's our only biological son.
Okay.
Next is Amos, who was born in Haiti and joined our family at age 4 and a half.
Okay.
Next is Deacon, who was born in San Antonio, and we have an open adoption with his birth mom, and he's been with us since he was born. And last but not least is our only girl, Story. She was also born in Haiti. And she came home she was almost two.
Got you.
So that's our family.
Got you. How are y'all? Nervous?
Good.
Nervous, yeah. Oh,
I love it. Aaron, as the patriarch of this household, I have to ask, why did you all choose to adopt Black children when you could have adopted European children? You could have adopted Asian children. Could have obviously adopted white children.
Yeah. Well, after we had Caden, we knew that we wanted to adopt, but we didn't intentionally adopt Black kids. So we didn't go into it of like, we want to adopt this kid from this country. We were just open. We were open-handed.
I mean, I would say when we walked into that adoption agency and they said our greatest need is someone to adopt Black and biracial boys, and we're like, okay, that sounds great. Like, I would say that we would have said we were colorblind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we would have just been like, what does it matter? Who cares? We're like, we'll love any kid. So I don't think we understood what it meant We did not have any idea what it meant to be a black person because neither one of us are black.
Story, how, I guess, awkward is it? And correct me if that's not the right word. When you're introducing your friends to your parents, but your parents are white.
It's hilarious. When, like, my friends would come over, they would, like, say, wait, these are your parents when they aren't looking? So, like, I would be in my, they would come upstairs in my room, and they would go, those are your parents. And I'm like, yeah, I was adopted. And they'd be like, oh, okay.
We live in a small town outside of a suburb, outside of Austin a little bit. And I think one of my greatest fears with having black children is wondering what people think about them. My kids.
Wondering what they think about them, meaning what?
Always wondering, what do these people out here really think about black people? Because I think white people can be like, oh, I like black people. But do you, like...
What are you saying?
What are you saying behind closed doors when Colin Kaepernick takes a knee, or when George Floyd is murdered, or when Ahmaud Arbery is killed in his neighborhood running? Like, what are you saying then? Because to me, Ahmaud is Amos. Amos runs in our neighborhood all the time. That scares the living daylight out of me.
Do you all fear for your... Do you all fear for your black children's life?
Yes. Every day.
Yep.
Amos, what do I always tell you when you go out places?
Go with a brother.
You can't ever be alone.
Amos, let me ask you this, because we brought up Ahmaud Arbery, who was hunted and essentially killed. George Floyd, his life was taken from him. When you see those black men get their lives taken, be murdered by white people, does it make you feel any differently about your white family?
No. It makes me scared, but, like, they love me, but, like, I don't think they'll ever want to do that.
What about white people in general?
Yeah, I get scared, in public or something like that.
Why?
I don't want that to happen to me.
Story, I see there are tears in your eyes. Why?
It's just sad to know that somebody might do that to people that look like me or Amos just because out of hatred of our skin color. It's just sad that someone would want to do that. It's scary about I might lose a brother, or I might lose my life, and then I don't want to leave this family, and it's just sad that people would do that.
Wow.
We know this has been happening for centuries. This is nothing new. It's not the first time a black man's been murdered at the hands of a white man in power. So I'm thankful for the video. I mean, every time it happens, I call my friend Andrea. She's a black mom raising black boys. And I'm like, I'm so scared. Yeah. And for me, I think I've only understood this fear for 15 years. Black moms have been struggling with this fear decades after decades.
Story, is tears were in your eyes because you were fearing for your black brother's life along with your own. I just want you to know that I understand that pain. I acknowledge that pain. I too live in and have lived in that pain and in that fear. And that's why I'm just grateful that you would have this conversation, so that everyone else can see the pain and the fear that you have to live in on a daily basis, that Amos has to live in on a daily basis, that Deacon has to live in on a daily basis, that I have to live in on a daily basis. But don't let that fear weigh you down. But instead, continue to have conversations like these so that you can encourage so, so, so very many people.
Another uncomfortable conversation with Emmanuel Acho will continue right after the break on CCO. Well, I hope you stay to hear the end of this uncomfortable conversation with a black man. Emmanuel Acho does this weekly, and this week he is talking about a white couple raising biracial children. Here now is the end of the conversation.
Yeah, someone asked me, they recently said, Emmanuel, they asked me via email, they were a white woman and she adopted black kids, and she said, how can I maintain my black kids' blackness? She said, how can I make sure that my black kid stays black? And I wanted to answer this, not only obviously for you all in this conversation, but For those watching, it's simply you're black by birth. If you come out the womb black, then you're black. You don't lose your blackness. It's not possible. Now, what can occur is to lose your black culture. Mm. What can occur is to lose your black heritage. I'm reminded of Tarzan in the jungle. Tarzan was a human, and he was always going to be human, even if he grew up amongst animals, even if he grew up amongst apes. And I think that if white parents aren't careful, then they can strip their black child's black culture and black heritage from them, even to the point of Tarzan wasn't actually Tarzan's name. Tarzan, in ape language, as the movie has it, means white skin. I think about my name, Emmanuel Chinadu Acho. Chinadu, in Igbo language, Nigeria, where my parents are from, means God guides me. Hmm. Now, growing up, everybody called me Manny. Manny doesn't mean Emmanuel, doesn't mean God with us. Manny sure as heck isn't Chinadu, as my parents would say it with a Nigerian accent. Yeah. So whenever my parents call me by name, they call me Chinadu to remind me of my heritage. Hmm. And so I think it's a matter more so of you can't maintain blackness, but you can maintain black culture. Hmm. Other people ask me this question, which I'll quickly ask y'all. White guilt. It has obviously been a huge thing, not only over the last decade, but very pressing right now. Would you all say, Jamie, that white guilt played a factor in you adopting black and biracial children?
No. Because I'll tell you this, I think 15 years ago, I wouldn't have understood that term, white guilt. Hmm. So 15 years ago, these conversations, I wasn't having.
They didn't happen.
Yeah.
I wasn't having them. I know you were probably having them. We weren't having them.
Why?
Because we're white.
And we didn't have
to. We have that privilege, and we don't have to have these conversations. I think that's been one of the most major things that's happened in our life. I won't speak for you, but for me, with having a family that looks like ours, is that I now had to come face to face with these conversations about what it is to be black in America, what white privilege is. I'd never heard that word before in my entire life.
Mm-hmm. I remember when we first started adopting, people would say like, man, thank you. Thank you for what you and Jamie did. And we were just always like, what are you talking about?
Why were they like, thanking you?
Because of that,
like,
because
it's
of
the so white, nice
the white guilt, white privilege thing. It was all white people saying it. Like,
yeah.
What you guys did is so amazing. Thanks for saving the world. And for us, we were like, no, you don't understand. Like, they changed us way more than we feel like we've changed anything because it's forced us to think deeply about conversations in the world.
What we've learned is proximity matters. Mm-hmm. And so if you're white in America and you don't have any friends who are people of color or fill in the blank of anything that's different than you, you don't have to face those challenges and those realities. You get to turn the TV off.
Yeah.
You get to not look. But we don't ever get to not look anymore because...
Mm-hmm.
These babies.
Are people.
I love it. I love it. Well, let's go to your babies. Caden, you are the oldest. You are white. Now, the world tells you so much as a white person about black people, right? The world tells you hip hop culture, movies, which you've told me that you love and you want to start creating. It tells you a lot about black people. Well, with growing up and in growing up with black siblings, Amos, Story, Deacon, what have you realized is a lie that the world told you?
Maybe like all black people are like gangsters, but like obviously not, because I mean, we don't live anywhere like that. And it's like different because black people are so much more than that. Like they have, like they're themselves. So like Amos, Deacon, and Story, they're their own people, you know. Amos is Amos, Deacon's Deacon, Story. They have like their own personality, what they like. And it's just like, if most people could see that, like everyone, we're all the same. We're all humans, but we're all different. You know, we all have different personalities. We all like different things. It'll bring more people together, I guess, that there's not like a split difference between what white people are like and what black people are like.
Deacon, you might actually have it the hardest because you're mixed and people don't really understand the struggle of being mixed. And when I say struggle, what I mean by that is, are you white? Are you black? Or are you mixed? When somebody asks, what do you consider yourself?
I'd probably say black.
Yeah.
Like, I might say mixed, but like, if you're black, you still have black in you. So like I do have a little white in me, but like, when a cop pulls me over, it won't be, oh, you have a little white, I'll let you go. It's, you have black, so you're black.
Wow. The story, I'm going to ask you a question that I don't know if you've been asked, at least publicly. Do you ever think about or wish that your parents raising you were Black or looked more like you?
No, because... Oh, that's a hard question. Oof.
Take your time.
No, because, like, I love my parents the way they are, and, like, I don't mind if they're white or Black because they're raising me and they love me, and really all I need is someone to love me and take care of me, and they're doing that totally fine.
How's that make y'all feel?
Well, I was like, I guess I wouldn't have cared if she would have said yes. That would have been real, but, you know, it feels good to hear that.
That's awesome, Aaron.
Like, it takes more time, more work, more heart, more soul on my part to make sure I love you guys in the right way as a good dad, because I don't know what it means to be Black. I never will.
I was asked another question via email, and this woman said, how can I parent my Black children? She's a white woman. How can I parent my Black children from wisdom rather than from fear? Mm. Jamie, how would you answer
that? It's so hard. It's so hard because my go-to is fear, like the worst thing. Like I would say I probably worry more about them than even Aaron does, because that's my tendency is to worry. So wisdom would be, man, educate, listen to Black people, listen. And a lot of white people just think, I don't need to listen. And I'm like, you have to listen.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, how would you add to that?
Fear comes from wanting to be comfortable. And what we realized in trying our best to parent Black kids is we have to be willing to be super uncomfortable in conversations, in what we're learning, in embracing our own history, and embracing the reality of the country we live in. Like, we have to be uncomfortable because we cannot parent in a wise way if we're just going to try to be comfortable all the time.
Yeah.
So we embrace being uncomfortable.
Caden, now that in hearing this whole conversation, you walked in feeling one way. How do you feel just in hearing and in being a part of this dialogue?
I feel uncomfortable. Which I want to go to my school and teach my friends about how to appreciate Black culture and how to have a better view on the world, because a lot of my friends don't have a good view.
Yeah.
And I can see that easily. A lot of my friends just, they don't have any Black friends. They don't have any Black family. And since I do, I feel like it's my job to teach them about that and, like, teach them how to understand, I guess, their pain more, and understand how to react to that.
Deegan?
Honestly, I really liked this conversation. Like, felt like it was good to have.
Why?
Just because, like, people don't know. Like Caden said, if you don't have Black family members, Black siblings, you don't know, and this is like just teaching people more.
Well, this conversation has made me feel encouraged. In closing, I was asked, Emmanuel, how do Black people feel when you see a white family adopting Black children? I can't speak for everybody, and I can't speak generically, but I can say personally, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that white parents choose to look beyond race and see love for exactly what it is, unconditional. But I will say, just make sure that you allow your Black children to keep their Black culture and their Black heritage. And make sure you, as parents, you keep and honor and acknowledge their Black culture and heritage as well. Thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode of Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. If change is truly going to come, you'll have to look beyond skin color, look beyond race, and look to love. We'll see y'all soon.
I am just so grateful for him. I am. I'm grateful for these conversations. And like the young man said, I liked having this conversation. I do too, because we don't have to be uncomfortable. We just get to listen and learn. So thank you for taking this time to listen and learn with me. And again, just so much gratitude for Emmanuel Acho. When we get back, wasps. The wasps are back. I need your help.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.